Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless him, bless him, bless him. Just put up your hands now. Put up your hands. Stretch them up really high. Say hallelujah. Say, "Lord Jesus, I didn't come for a lesson. I came to meet with you. I want to encounter you in fresh ways right now. In Jesus' name, amen." It's good. So we've been talking about now. We're on a whole now situation, now time, now season. And the last couple of weeks I've been talking about now presence and just hanging around in the now presence for a while. And we've been on a journey together with 28 days of prayer. How many have been tracking with me on the 28 days of prayer journey? It's good. I was going to pull off a bunch of your comments and things, because some of you really know how to pray, and some of you are very articulate when you write those things down. There's times I read the rest of the comments there, and I'm like, wow, I'm really encouraged when I hear your prayers, because I know God hears and answers prayer, so it's really good. So don't be afraid to jump on there, and after you read the, even if you don't read it, you read a little bit. If it's too much, you're not a big reader, you know, read the top, and then just go down and comment and say amen, and put something in there. Encourage your brothers and sisters. Amen. How do you know it's one of the things? Be encouraging. Encourage one another. Spur one another on to good works. But we're praying together, and every morning I'm putting a new post up there for you. And I just want you to join us and pray. And then on Thursday night from 7:30 to 8:30, this Thursday night from 7:30 to 8:30, we're going to be right here in the sanctuary. I want you to come. It's going to be an hour of power. I want you to come and pray with us. I've enjoyed it the last couple of weeks. But we're on this journey of 28 days, because 14 days ago, it was 28 days from the 8th of September. And on the 8th of September, we are praying for a very big day. We're praying for that to be a day of days, a day of real impact, a day of significant growth. It's a time of transition. We've mailed out flyers to over 13,000 homes in the city about our kids program, and then about our all-out Sunday coming up, and about the bus for the students. And we're investing an awful lot of prayer, effort, and energy on the 28th, because we're trying to break God down, because he's just so reluctant to bless us. And we're just trying to, that's not what we're doing. We're agreeing with his highest willingness. We're just trying to corporately focus ourselves. We're trying to corporately set ourselves up for something wonderful and incredible. And how many got a glorious expectation? We're looking forward to the 28th. So that's why we're having these prayer times, prayer journeys, prayer guides, and we're going to do this together, and we're going to see God do something big and wonderful. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, that's good. Now, last week we were talking about, just do a quick little recap for you, but A.W. Tozer, this is a quote somebody sent to me on Twitter, and I thought really powerful quote, A.W. Tozer. He said, "Too many people are Christian by assumption or manipulation or instruction rather than by regeneration." Too many Christians are Christians by assumption. What does that mean? It means I assume I'm a Christian. I mean, I'm in a Christian nation. I remember witnessing to a guy once. He says, "I live in a Christian nation. I'm a Christian." That's a gross assumption. My parents were Christian. I was born into a Christian home. Well, still an assumption. I go to church on Sunday. Still an assumption. I mean, I go to McDonald's 5 times a week. Doesn't make me a Big Mac, you know. Although I'm starting to look more like one all the time. it's not my manipulation. Well, yeah, I got to go to church. I got to do this. You know, I've been manipulated. I feel guilt, and I better go to church. You know, some people manipulated into being believers. And then there's some people that they get instructed all the time in what it is to be a believer, but have never really met Jesus. Really don't know what it is to personally be regenerated, because being a Christian is not assumption, manipulation, or instruction. It's an experience. It's where you have a personal experience, where you are born again. Regeneration is where you are born from above. God himself comes, and you are born of God, born again into the family of God. Being a Christian is an experience. It's not a club we belong to. It's not I agree with these people, so I hang out with them. No, I am born again. I am regenerated, born from above. It is an encounter. Say encounter. It is an encounter with God. So we need to have an experience. We talked about the fact that God wants to be experienced, not just understood. God wants to be experienced, not just understood. Because really, God wants to, first of all, that's why I wrote that verse there, Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It doesn't say, oh, read and memorize that the Lord is good. It doesn't say, take in service after service, the Lord is good. Literally, God is saying, I am an experience that you can taste. I am a God that you can see. I am a God that you can have an interaction with, an encounter with, and by doing that, you're going to experience that God is good. And then when you experience God is good, you get into his word and you begin to, the goodness all makes sense to you and it all begins to come alive to you because you've tasted and seen he's good, and then you see, man, he's really good. Here's some other really good stuff about you. Oh, you're really, really good. And you can't even understand this book without the Spirit of God. Nobody can understand the word of God except the Spirit himself reveal it to you. So the whole thing comes through an experience. It comes through revelation. It comes through a tangible experience where you encountered God and you're face to face with him every day of your life. Hallelujah. I'm trying to obey Jesus every day. It's a lot easier if you're face-to-face with him every day. It's a lot easier if every moment you're intoxicated with his presence. Him. He's really, really there. So we need power, not words. We need an encounter, not an explanation. We need presence, not just practice. We need to taste. Yum, yum, yum. We need to taste and we need to see for ourselves that God is good. We talked about Jacob, and I know I picked on Jacob, and I had Holly and Jacob over at the house this week, and I had them over so I could tell Holly that I'm not beating on your child. You know, I'm not saying you got a nasty name for your boy. I said, Jacob, you've regenerated the name. You've risen it to new levels. Come on, it's the house of Jacob, all those things. So, and my daughter was texting me while I was preaching saying, man, you're beating up on Holly's baby's name. I went, what? So Holly and I are okay. We had time together. And so if any of you were also carrying offense for her, we're good. Okay. Just thought I'd pass that out. How many needed to hear that? Thank you. All right. All right, so here's Jacob, but we talked about Jacob because Jacob had encounters with God. The first place in the Bible where it talks about this whole face-to-face thing that we experience, and 2 Corinthians says that we have a face-to-face experience with God. It's amazing. It was with this guy named Jacob. Now Jacob, his name was supplanter. He took literally his brother's birthright. I don't think that's a bad thing to want the double portion. I don't think it's a bad thing to want the blessing on your life. It's not a bad thing, but his brother was older. He was the one who rightfully was supposed to get it, but he said, I'm going to take it, and he deceived his father, got the blessing, and then he ran for his life. But when he ran for his life, God met him, and God was okay with it. God was good. He said, all right, and then God showed him. He pulled back the veil, not to give him a light show, but to show him that you can live out of the supernatural realm every day of your life. So it wasn't like a little light show just to make him happy because he was tired. It was to literally pull back a veil and say, there's two realms, and the one that you're in is less real than this one. You can literally live out of this one, and this realm that you see right now, the ladder and the open heaven, this realm is what creates everything in your realm. So this realm is literally more real than the realm you're in, because out of this realm, out of the unseen realm, everything seen came from. And so he tried to show him, not a little light show, but he tried to show him you can now go forward without fear and you can live out of the unseen realm and you can call into manifestation on the seen realm every blessing of God. And so he began to live out of that. He began to operate in that and he experienced that while he was with Laban. And Laban found out that this was so. Laban found out he was blessed because Jacob knew how to activate the ladder. So he got that experience and he called it Bethel, the house of God. And you know, every single one of you are a living, breathing Bethel. Every single one of you are a living, breathing mobile tabernacle of the glory of God. Because everywhere you go, everybody has access to everything that God is. The whole unseen realm, you are a gateway to the unseen realm. And people can come and go and experience the goodness of God in and through you. You are lacking nothing. You've been blessed and provided for in every single way. So we have access through Jesus and we have now become as he is, so are we in this world. So we have that. But we need an encounter. We need an encounter with God. So he had that amazing unseen realm encounter with God. Then we went to Jabbok. We went to Jabbok because we experienced Peniel. And Peniel is the face-to-face encounter. Peniel means to turn and face. And in Peniel, before you go into the promise of God, you got to get right with God. Esau was not his problem. What was before him was not his problem. His problems were in him. The difficulties that he was having, the fear, the doubt, all those things that were in him, these were the things that he had to deal with. And he did not have his brother that he was afraid of. The first thing you got to be confronted by when you cross into the promise of God is God himself. And it's God who met him there in the two dancing armies. And God meets you there, and you must have an encounter with God that's face to face if you're going to go into the fullness of your destiny. And that's what we talked about last week, and you can get the video, and you can watch that and have an encounter with God. But he called it Peniel, and Peniel, because Jabuk means to empty yourself. And at Jabuk, he emptied himself of all that needed to be released and let go of so that he could experience the fullness of God and walk into his destiny. So Jacob called the place Peniel, for I have seen the face of God, and my life is preserved. The place of emptying becomes the place of facing God, where you now move into your destiny. What I love about this is, it's the place where you learn the blessing of God. It's the place where you learn that if God is before me, who can be against me? It's the place where you walk in absolute peace and fullness because you realize at that place there is nothing before me that God hasn't provided in me to deal with. And if God is for me, there's no difficulty. There's nothing before me that can resist the purpose of God in my life. And you got to learn that. And you only learn that. You will only learn that in a face-to-face encounter with God. And that's where we learn at that place where the blessing of the Lord, Proverbs 10:22, I love it. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich, and he adds no sorrow to it, neither does toiling increase it. And in the face-to-face, you learn that the blessing of the Lord has nothing attached to it except God wants to bless you, and you have to willingly embrace that encounter. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit more about the encounter, the face-to-face. We're going to step into some of the obstacles right now of why people don't embrace the encounter. Number one, some people don't embrace the encounter because they don't think they're good enough. Some people don't think, you know, well, I'm just not good enough. I got issues. I got things. I've got a past. I got stuff I did. And there's reasons why, you know, I probably shouldn't have this encounter with God. Here, let me tell you something. He already knows about it. And he doesn't really care. He knows all about it, every single bit of it, every single little sloppy detail. God is totally aware of it. And let me tell you this, he doesn't care. He is completely committed to have a relationship with you. He has removed that offense for you through the blood of Jesus. And you know what? He wants you. He's nuts about you. He's passionate about you. You are good enough because he has declared that you are worthy of his love. So don't turn away from God because you got issues. You come into the presence of God, you want to worship him, and all of a sudden the devil's accusing you, you know, oh, you did that again, you're such a screw up. I mean, you think God's going to get face to face with you after what you did? I mean, then what's real bad is you got preachers who'll say that to you too. You, God wants to come close to you, but you're sinners. You got problems in your life. You got to pray harder, believe harder, read harder, jump through 35 hoops. Then you walk out feeling worse than you came. You know, God loves you, and he has declared you, he has qualified you to be a partaker of his inheritance. Who qualified you? God Almighty. What are you standing here for? The blood of Jesus has given me access to this grace in which I stand. So you got to know that. So some people are afraid, though. Some people are afraid to have an encounter with God. I mean, they're afraid. I mean, because they don't understand God. They don't understand that he is good. That's why it's taste and see. He's good. Some people have a weird concept of who he is. They don't really believe that God's good. They don't believe he has their best interests at heart. That's why you need a face-to-face. You need to taste and see he's good. And then, you know, if God is for me, who can be against me? And he is for me. He's not for you because of anything you've done or anything you did or you somehow finally reached the fifth level of achievement in the glory realm. He's for you. He's nuts about you just as much as anybody else. He loves you with an everlasting love, and he'll never change his mind. So you got to overcome that. Some people are afraid. Some people, I'm not just that. I'm not that important. You know, I'm glad that he loves me, and I'd like an encounter with him. I don't even mind getting a splash over from somebody else's encounter because they're probably more important than I am. And, you know, I'm probably at the back of the line. You know what? He's looking right through everybody just like it's you. You know, we went to Disneyland, and when we were in Disneyland, we went into the Terminator. Was it Disneyland, or was it, that was Universal Studios. We're in Universal Studios, and we went into the Terminator, big IMAX thing, and you know, where you sit on the chairs, and the chairs move, and they shoot little air things at your feet, and they have rats coming running out of the screen, and then little air pockets all at your feet, and you're going, oh, the rats are in the room, oh my God, And the thing is, it's all 3D. You got these 3D glasses on. When it was all done, we're walking out, and Cheryl turns to me and says, did you know 500 or more people in that room, and did you know that everything was pointed right at me? I mean, everything. I mean, when he shot out that his sword and he did that thing and the gun was pointed out and his metal arm was, it came right to me. How amazing was it that of all those people in that room, I was sitting in the seat that got the full experience? That's absolutely true, isn't it? It's true. And I mean, even my kids were like, oh, Mom. She's like, what? It was a 3D thing, Mom. We all got the same effect. She said, no. You all had the same experience? Yes. See, here Cheryl thought she was special. And how amazing that randomly I found the spot and it was all for me. You know what? God's able to do the full-on 3D experience for everybody. He's not looking, he's not having to look past people that are more special to look to you. Oh, yes, and you back on the 5,648th row, seat 3, I love you too. Are you kidding? He's full on with you. He can be face to face with every single person in the universe at the same time. You can have the full on 3D experience with God. You don't have to randomly find the special chair. You have qualified for the full on encounter. I'm not that important. Well, and then there's a lot of people, I'm not sure. I mean, I've seen some weird stuff. And when you say, let's encounter God, I'll encounter him, but I want it this way, you know, like maybe haha or the odd tear or something like that, but maybe the odd, ooh, that was good. A little goosebump here or there, I'm good with that. But some of this other stuff that I've seen, I don't want those encounters. Get over yourself. How many want to experience God in a new way? No, not me. No. No new ways. I've given him a list of things, of ways he can touch me. I mean, I'm glad that he overrules that a lot of times, don't you? I'm glad that he broke through my boxes of theology, and I had already laid out ways that God moves, and he busted the whole thing, and he invaded me, because literally I looked at it and thought it was weird. How many have watched like, some charismatic TV? How many have watched just some regular TV? I mean, how many have a TV? I mean, some of that stuff's just crazy, and you look at that and go, I don't want that. But sometimes we resist even opening our heart in any way to an encounter with God because we just, I'm not sure. And then there's, you know, he let me down. Oh, you're like, you're coming in and going like, I'll still let God be in my life, but I'm actually not quite sure about him because I've tried stuff with him before, and I don't know. I just, you know, I've put some demands on him. He's just not been there for me, so I'm not sure. Right now, I'm kind of hanging back right now. You know, you got to get rid of all these obstacles. They're all obstacles to you having a genuine encounter with God. And then there's this one. It's not what I believe. And there's an awful lot of people who are like that. They're throughout this city, in fact, throughout Christendom. I mean, throughout the world, people calling themselves believers don't realize that God is a living, breathing encounter. He's not a doctrine. He's not a church you belong to. It's not a denomination or an organization. Well, I'm of this teacher. I'm of that teacher. There are all kinds of teachers all over town, all over the TV, even right in our right now video thing we're sending you, that they'll discourage you from having an encounter with God. And there's people who have a doctrine. They would say, we don't have encounters with God. And there's some people who say, if you have an encounter with God, that's actually strange. Here's what's so amazing is, if you have an encounter, they would more likely attribute it to the devil than to God. So the devil can touch you, but not God. And if something weird happens, it's probably demonic because God doesn't want to get that close to you. That's ridiculous. God really loves you, and God's the one who said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. God wants you to encounter him more than he wants you to understand him. Because literally, you got to know who he is, not read about him. He wants you to know him personally. Put up your hands. No, really, it's okay. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to encounter you in fresh ways. I'm not afraid. Bring it on. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's quietly just wait for some of those. All right, Pastor Cheryl's going to come right now and just going to share about an encounter she's had with God. This is completely unrehearsed. And you're next, so come on, Pastor Cheryl. I am serious. I'm just serious. Oh, he let me down, right? I did cover that one. I did. I'm sorry. How many remember me counting that one? All right. But I appreciate that. If there's ever a point that you think I've missed, you let me know. No, it's good. No, I'm. You know what? For too long, we've had this one guy talking and everybody else watching. And who learns that way? I mean, honestly. You know, come on, Cheryl.
This drives me crazy. Just to let you know, someday I'm going to do something really bad to embarrass you. I don't know. You're not that easy to embarrass. Okay, so encountering, tasting and seeing that God is good. What's really interesting about tasting and seeing is that the whole idea of taste and see is almost counterintuitive, because usually you look at something before you want to taste it. And when you think about taste and see, that's really you stepping out in faith to trust. It would be like me blindfolding Carl and putting a plate in front of him and saying, taste, you know, perceive that it's good before you can see it to your eyes. So anyways, it's kind of an interesting little phrase, taste and see, that the Lord is good. Yeah. Because it really is a step of faith. That's all there is to it. You have to, if you're here today and if you've never made that step towards God, it is a step of faith. It is counterintuitive to everything that would seem like common sense to you, but God is really good. So Carl's talking about encounters. And so for those of you who know, I'm a very factual, logical, present here and now kind of person. And so things have to make sense. It has to have a practical application for me to believe it. And if the source isn't bigger than myself or Carl, then I just don't want to hear about it or listen to it. So I'm very much grounded in the here and now. And so Carl's often talked about revival probably 15 years ago. And I got born again, and I really fell in love with Jesus. I fell in love with God because of really what I experienced of him in the transformation that took place in our home. And I'd had really little taste of how good God was because, you know, I spoke in tongues, I'd heard prophecy, the word had really come alive to me. And in 1995, when revival broke out with Rodney Howard Brown and the Vineyard people, I hadn't realized how dry or desperate I had become for God. And so we had these special speakers come in, and my husband got whacked. Like, it was silly. We were in Toronto, and I was at the back row hanging on to my children and looking at Carl, and he's laughing hysterically, looking like a crazy man with his feet in the air, his socks off. And then explaining to me all the way home, oh my God, I feel Jesus so near. It's like, and then he would say things that I just thought were whacked. And I was really happy. I'm really happy for you. I'm really glad that you've tasted God. That's really great for you. And then we had, a few months later, we had Bill Wilson come from Rodney Howard's meetings. And we'd had our grand opening service, so I was very engaged doing the here and now stuff, making sure everything was tickety-boo, everybody was served, and da-da-da-da-da. And so after all the opening services were done, we just had an all-out week of let's encounter or seek God. And Carl got stupid again. And it just looked so weird to me. Like, he was laughing hysterically. It was just like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? And although I thought it was weird, I still kind of sort of somewhere must have wanted some myself. I don't know. God only knows. But after about two or three nights of meetings, and I was sitting at the back row, and so finally I broached a little bit closer to the front for the meetings, and this minister made me come up for prayer. And so I wanted to come up too. I wanted to be the obedient pastor's wife and just, you know, submit myself to things. And so I lifted up my hands during prayer. And Bill Wilson put his hands on my head, and he literally walked me around the whole building, and we met over there. And the more I walked around the building, the more silly I got. And I've been stoned. I've been drunk. I know what being stoned and high and laughing is like. I literally laughed hysterically for hours. I was on the floor. I was hitting the floor. I was laughing. I just couldn't control myself. And so that continued for about 3 or 4 days. And I was just so, oh my gosh, he came to me. And I knew how dry I was on the inside. I knew how ticked off I was at Carl for getting me involved in ministry, because I hated him for it, you know. I have to say that honestly, I was so teed off with him because I just didn't fit the mold, you know. I didn't wear the go to church bun in my hair. I didn't like looking like the church lady, because David Letterman had really funny skits about that. So I really resented Carl, and I was very bitter and very dry, but God came to me, even though I felt like that. He came to me and ministered to me, and I laughed for days, and I have notebooks where you can see where I trailed off and started laughing and falling on the ground. And then on the Friday morning service, God came in a very different way. It wasn't laughter. You know, sometimes life has a way of doing things to you that you don't even have language to describe. You can't really even put language around how it affected you, how the traumas affected you in life, and what really happened. Well, we had a Friday morning consecration service, and I don't know what happened. I don't know how to explain it, but I felt like God opened up a cork on the inside of me, and every crappy thing that had happened or that had been a huge disappointment to me in my life, it's like it just came pouring out. And instead of laughter, there was this intense groan on the inside of me. And I felt like God just kind of reached in, grabbed disappointment, despair, hopelessness, and just yanked it right out of my soul and out of my being. And I have never, ever, ever been the same since then. And you know what? I could feel him in my hands. I could feel him in my feet. I felt that he had revived my soul and cleansed my soul in a way. I felt like I was wearing a white shirt that I did not want to stain. So you know what? Taste and see that the Lord is good. And even when there are things that have happened to you that you don't know how God is ever, ever going to fix that and restore it, he can minister to you in a way that you have no terms for and you can never describe. And every time I think about that occasion and that encounter and those encounters, it's like a gateway opens up on the inside of me, and I go right back there and I feel the same joy, the same love, the same appreciation, and the same deliverance that took place in that. So taste and see that the Lord is good. Everyone, God wants to come to you. Anyone who says that God can't be experienced is lying to you, because all through Scripture, there is exhortations and encouragement for us to come and taste of God. Why buy money and honey? Why spend your money on milk and honey and things that do not satisfy? Come unto me. And Jesus said, come unto me, all you who laboring. God really satisfies, and he really wants to touch you, body, soul, and spirit.
I did have a new wife after that. Honest to God. It was completely ridiculous. Cheryl's whole world was completely transformed and stepped into a new realm of ministry, not through a Bible study or a teaching or counseling. She had an encounter with God. In fact, as a pastor, I was engaged in so many people's lives and difficulties they were going through. After that week of meetings, the counseling was over. People were totally set free, and I'm like, guess we'll go golfing. Because, you know, when you encounter him, it all makes sense. And when you encounter him, there's really, as Cheryl said, like, it's like I had a white shirt on, I didn't want to get dirty. When it was precious, you carried it so preciously because your relationship with him was everything to you. And you didn't treat it askance or lightly. It was something, although it wasn't fragile, it was so special that you walked very carefully with it, not because it was fragile, but because it was precious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, sometimes we limit God in how we can experience him, and we like him to come certain ways, and you got to repent of that. You got to say, I'm sorry, Lord, that I have literally limited the way that you would speak to me. I mean, imagine how many people would listen to a burning bush. Yeah, I don't do burning bushes, sorry. See, Moses, there was a burning bush, and it saw it, and it was not consumed. And Moses said, I've seen burning bushes before, but this is interesting. But it says, and then he turned aside. He turned to see what was going on. He had to go and have an experience. And then God spoke to him out of a bush. Moses. I don't know why he speaks like that from bushes, but there's things that happen. And then there's another time that Josh was praying and wondering, okay, I got to lead these people now. Moses is dead. What am I going to do? I have no idea. How am I going to take Jericho? And then all of a sudden there's a man with a sword, and he's like, oh, are you for us or against us? And he says, I didn't come to take sides. I came to take over. And he realized it was the Lord. And the Lord came as a warrior with a sword. Yeah, God comes to me like a dove. Well, if you don't open your mind that maybe it's the guy with the sword, you don't open your heart that, well, that was the Old Testament, Pastor. God doesn't show up. He shows up like that all the time. He comes into your heart and your spirit in incredible ways. But we often limit how we want to experience God. I mean, there was Saul. When Saul was told by Samuel that, you know, what you're going to do is go down this road, go this way. Don't worry about the donkeys. They're okay. You came looking for donkeys. I'm going to give you your inheritance. And then he goes and he gets himself among the prophets and he begins to prophesy. And it says, literally, you'll be turned into another man. You'll be turned into another man. And what Cheryl experienced was a complete change of life. God had to root out all the disappointment and literally, you have no idea the battles we had in our house. My wife hated that I was in ministry. Hated. And then began to hate me because it was me pursuing the call of God in my life that put her in a place that she hated, and everybody looked askance at her, and nobody understood her, and everybody treated her like, you don't fit, and if only Carl married somebody else, and she felt all this garbage in her life. But then, it wasn't through a lecture, it wasn't through counseling, it was through a face-to-face with God where he said, I've called you, you're exactly who you are because I created you like that, I made you like that, be who you are, and now loose yourself from all of that foolishness, and she was free forever. It's awesome stuff. I mean, Isaiah had a heavenly encounter. You know, all of a sudden he's like, my God, what's going on? I feel like I'm in the throne room. I rebuked this. I mean, there he was. I mean, he was disappointed. His best friend, the king, his hopes, his dreams. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Suddenly, I'm in the throne room. Oh, my goodness, look at me. I feel unworthy to be there. But then the Lord touches your mouth. He qualifies you to be there. And then all of a sudden you hear the passion of heaven. Then he says, who will go for us? And you're like, I'll go. These are all incredible encounters that people had with God. You had the Gideon. I mean, Gideon is hiding, trying to make a biscuit, and he's trying to hide away from all of his enemies, and then there he is in a threshing floor, and then God throws up in the threshing floor and says, Gideon, you mighty man of war. And he's like, who, me? Are you crazy? He says, if I'm a mighty man of war, where's all the miracles? Where's the miracles? And a life was transformed. Gideon, the least of his clan, the least of his family, the least of the tribe, suddenly was turned into, through an encounter with God, a leader who broke away all the enemies of Israel. And what was that, a Bible study? It was an encounter with God. It was an encounter with God. You had the three boys in the furnace. I mean, they got tossed in there, and what did they have? There's a fourth one, looks like the Son of Man. They had a little experience with God. How many know that would be pretty crazy? I mean, you got thrown in a furnace that the people throwing you in, it was so hot they got killed, didn't touch you, and you had a dance with Jesus in the fire. You think that wouldn't affect the rest of your life? Tell you, see, encounters with God that I've had that literally I look back to, and it's some of those events, it's those face-to-faces, those things. But you know what? They weren't meant to be just events. They weren't meant to be just these little neat experiences. Literally, God wants to live in your face every single day. Then I was going to talk about Saul here and his whole encounter. I got 7 points about Saul's encounter. Saul, who got hit so hard that his name was changed to Paul. The S got knocked right off, and he got knocked off his horse. And God transformed the life of somebody who already knew the whole Bible. He'd memorized the whole Bible. He understood it inside and out. In fact, he thought he was defending God by killing some of these Christians. And then God got a hold of him and transformed his life, and he was turned around, and he began to preach right away because he had all the word. He had all of this, but he got an encounter with God, and suddenly the God of the word had an encounter with him, and it all made sense. He began to manifest what was in his life. You need an encounter with God. You need an encounter with God. So rather than go through all of that, I just want to go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Go there. Turn in your Bibles or whatever you're using. So you can go right on, just pass go, or go right to the last slide. Book of Revelation. Revelation right at the end, so you can find it right there. It's probably going to be up on the screen there. It's up on the screen, so there it is. But look at this verse. Now, a lot of times people use this verse when they're, you know, preaching a salvation message, but it's really not. He's talking to the church. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to believers. And he says, look, or behold, I stand. Pay attention. I'm standing at the door, and I'm knocking. And if you hear my voice, open the door. I will come in, and we'll share a meal together. as friends. Now, this is not complicated. Sadly, we've even had conferences here, and people come in and they talk about their amazing experiences, and then they give you the five keys to an encounter. And sadly, we think that I just haven't done enough to have that encounter. And it's so not true, because everything necessary for the encounter is already done. You know, it's not you knocking on the door. You know who wants you to have an encounter? Jesus. You know who wants to encounter you? Jesus. And he's not reluctant. He's not sitting in this big vault up in heaven and going, key number one, click. Key number two, you're almost here. Key number three. And we go through this stuff where we get into this charismatic religious gymnastics, and we think that we got to get to some incredible status to realize God or encounter God, which is so not true. Because when you were born again, that was an encounter of God. You couldn't have been born again or regenerated without an encounter of the Spirit. And God doesn't make it harder after that. Literally, he's like, and the handle's on the inside. And it's real easy. He literally says, open the door, and I'll come in. And we'll do something really, really intimate. We'll enjoy fellowship together. We'll eat together. We'll drink together. And we'll do it just like friends. He wants to be your friend. He wants to encounter you every single day of your life. I'm not inviting you into some higher level of striving for supernatural encounters. That is such a nasty deception on the charismaniac church today. There's some of you like, oh my God, he's taking away my toys. I love striving. Well, that's the problem. It's not hard. It's not like we got to worship harder till we get to the next level. Literally. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Just open up. And it's really not complicated stuff. Because he wants to encounter you. He's done everything necessary for the encounter. And you know, anything in your life that's worth anything, any prayers you pray, Bible study you do, anything else you do, it should come from the encounter. It shouldn't cause you to qualify for the encounter. But all of those things happen because I've been encountered, because I know him. So come on, stand on your feet. Have I got Lana's around you? Oh, it's right in front of me. I'm not going to put any pressure on you. You know, that's why we have people who come and ministry teams up the front here. That's why we do those kind of things, because we want you to, if you need more prayer or you need to encounter God with somebody, because we do believe in the doctrine of laying on of hands, that we do believe in impartation. But you know, you can have impartation just through the word. You can have impartation through a testimony. You can have impartation where literally God tugs on your heart. And you know, right now, I believe he's knocking on the door of your heart. And all you got to do, I'm desperate for more of God. Here, I'm going to give you this book on how to encounter him. Holy moly. We put people on such treadmills of performance. Oh, I get them because I'm so awesome. You know, you get them because he's at the door knocking. He's really that good. He's really that good. Otherwise, we turn the whole thing into works. Our own personal effort. And then we're trying and trying and trying. Tell me, how much is enough? He did it. It's finished. It's good. You know, he's knocking on your heart right now. Well, I didn't really want an encounter today. I've got plans. Well, God wants to encounter you. And it doesn't have to be weird and creepy. It doesn't mean you got to fall down and weep. It doesn't mean you got to laugh your brains out for a while. I'm just saying this should be so wonderfully natural in your life. Just like Jacob, that unseen realm, you have access to it all the time. His presence you have access to all the time. He's knocking. I want to live. I want to be a part of your life every day. I want you to be a living, breathing, supernatural encounter every day. I want it to be as natural as breathing. And I want to be a part of your life. I want to surround your life and wrap your life in my glory. I want you to glow with my goodness. And he's knocking on the door of your heart right now. Well, have you ever had a time when you felt closer to God than you do right now? That should never, ever happen. I should never say that there was a time that I was closer to God than I am today. I can't. I don't ever want to say that. Because I want to be with him every day. I don't want to say, he's not with me right now. He is with me right now. And he's again knocking on the door of my heart. Can you hear me? Hello. I want in. I want in. I got stuff. I want to bless you. I want to eat with you. I want you to know my friendship. I want you to taste and see that I'm good. Hey, could everybody bow your heads? Just everybody pray, all right? Maybe you're here today. You've come in and you're here. I don't know everyone, but maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe the tap on your heart right now is salvation. Maybe it is that first experience with God, that encounter where you're born again, where he comes and he becomes the revelation of a loving heavenly Father to you, and you become a child of God. For the first time, he becomes so very real to you. Maybe today is that day where you encounter him for the first time and he becomes your Lord and your Savior. You know, if you're here today and you don't know what that is, I don't know what it means to have him as my Lord and my Savior, but I want him to be my Lord and Savior. I want to encounter him. If that's you, would you do something? I'm going to count to three, and when I count to three, would you put your hand up so I can see it? And I'm going to pray with you, all right? It's going to be real easy. But here we go. You ready? One, two, three. Just put your hand up right now. Lift it up really high. Lift it up really high. Lift it up really high. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Just put your hand up right now. It's not too late. You can still do it. Well, would y'all pray with me? Would y'all just pray together? You're going to pray, and everybody around you is going to pray too, so you pray. And in this prayer, you're going to ask Jesus to come. You're going to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with himself. And you're going to have access to the Father as your heavenly Father and Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So pray with me. You ready? Everybody's going to pray. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you that my sin is gone. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you, Father, for your great love. I confess that I am a child of God right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, that's good. Look at me now. Look at me. I want you to know something right now. I want you to know your sins are forgiven, past, present, future. You don't have a sin relationship with the Father anymore. That's dealt with. You are now a child of God, and you need to do more than make a decision for Jesus. You need to figure out what's all this about, and we want to help you, and there's people here that can help you. Somebody may come and, you know, ask you, did you say that prayer today, and fill out a card with you. Why? Because we don't want to just get people making decisions. We want to see people discipled and fully understand. It's not about joining the church or all that stuff. It's about you and your relationship with Jesus becoming more real. All right? All right. Now, everybody else, just raise your hands right now. Ready? Here we go. Light a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Light a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. Now just right now, I want you to let the Holy Spirit tell you what it means right now, just to open the door. What does it mean for you to just remove any limitation that you may have? What does it mean to just, I want to be open to you, Lord. I want to be open to you. I want my heart to be open to you. I want to be open to a fresh experience of you. I don't want to live off past revelations or the history lessons that I've written in my books and my Bibles. And I want more than just a journal. I want every day to know what it is to have you very, very close. You said, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. The I'll draw near to you, it's absolute. You will every time. One step towards you, and you take three towards us. You're tapping on the door of hearts today. You don't want us to live a life of barrenness, of dissatisfaction. You don't want us to ever live a moment where we don't feel you face to face as the most wonderful. The paramount experience that I have is breathing you. Lord, forgive us for ever letting it slide. Forgive us for ever becoming dull. Forgive us for ever not saying, I need the fresh encounter with you every day. Forgive us for saying, I'm good. I'm good. I've come to a new level in God. I never want to stop ascending in my relationship with you. I want to continue to explore the God who's beyond exploration. I want to continue to experience and unpack all that you are. And I never want to stop experiencing more and more and more of you. Catherine Kuhlman always used to say, there's so much more. Oh, there's so much more. And there is so much more. Lord, the world needs to see a church, a people, a family of God that is intoxicated on a living, breathing relationship with a living God. Father, we want to be a place where people will see other people having encounters and they'll just be jealous. I want that. I want that kind of love. I want that kind of satisfaction. I want that kind of freedom. I want that kind of community. I want that. Lord, we want to open our hearts afresh to you as a fellowship. Now presence. It's a part of our culture. Now presence. We don't want to have meetings. We want to have living encounters with God. With God. With you. Just right now, Holy Spirit, just right now, as hearts are open, as people are opening and unpacking the doors in their lives and pushing the things that have been in the way, I hear you knocking. I hear you knocking on the door of my heart. And I know you want to come in a new way. You want to come with fresh bread. You want to come with fresh oil. You want to come with a fresh cup that you've mixed today for us to fellowship. Just come right now. Touch lives right now. Encounter lives right now. Holy Spirit, I just loose that anointing right now. It shatters yokes and breaks things open. That looses hearts, touches lives in a fresh and a wonderful way right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus. We bless you. We love you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your sweet face. Thank you for your sweet touch. Thank you for your peace invading my heart and my life. Oh, it's so good to look on you. Looking on you, the author and the finisher of my faith. Looking at you with an unveiled face being transformed from one level of glory to another. Jesus. 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 The pure in heart will see God. Thank you for your pure heart to see you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that gives me access. Thank you for clean hands. Thank you for a pure heart. Thank you that I have eyes to see and ears to hear. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for access to the unseen realm. Thank you that I can see there. Thank you that I can call into manifestation those things which you reveal. Thank you for the fellowship that I have with you. That is not just flooded with an encounter, but it's full of purpose. It's full of destiny. That this encounter is full of life. That it's full of future. It's full of eternal destiny. Thank you for what I receive right now, face to face with you. Face to face with you. Jesus. 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 Oh. Oh, thank you. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 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 You are holy. You are holy, God. You are holy. You are holy, God. You are holy, holy, holy. You are holy, God. Yes. Yes. She danced in it. Yes. Ministering today to come forward. Just those who are going to minister at the altar. Wow. Wow. Just come on and face the congregation now. And you're here today, you know. You know if you're at a place where you need to be refreshed. Maybe you just need somebody to minister with you. There's healing that you need. Did you know that healing is not a doctrine? It's an encounter. It's Jehovah Rapha. It's God. It's a covenant God. He is your healer. And healing is an encounter with God that you have. It's Him. He's your healer. And you encounter Him, you get all that. No, He's your deliverer. He's the wisdom. He's the revelation. It's Him. It's a person. It's the person of God. You know, He's here to touch you today, to minister to you. Maybe you're here and you're saying, man, it's been a long time since I really encountered God. And I'm simple enough to just say, hey, I feel you knocking. Come on in. And you just need prayer today. And you need to come to the altar today. And you need to have that touch today. You don't want to go away from here without that touch that you know you need. Well, the altars are open right now. And Alana and I are just going to sing. And you're welcome to come. Come on to the altar. It's a good thing. Good thing to come and meet with Him. It's a good thing to come and experience that fresh touch of God. It's a good thing to come and have fresh oil. Fresh oil. A cup of new wine. Cup of new blessing on your life right now. So Father, I bless this house. Thank you for each and every one. Thank you for your presence. Lord, I pray that even this last 3 weeks, these words, this desire for your presence would get in every heart and every life. Pray even for the service next week outside that, Lord, we'd see people touched and saved. As we worship you outdoors, let your presence come and fill that whole place. Let the whole park just be slammed in your goodness and glory. Father, bless this house. Father, your love, Jesus, your wonderful grace. Holy Spirit, your divine fellowship be with each one now. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on forward, get some prayer. Come on. Come on. You ready?